שלום לכם, תודה שאתם...
Hello everyone, thank you for joining us today. This is our new live series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello. This is show number 1230, and our subject for today is how a person contends with social systems. So, look, this is the coronavirus era, which brings with it many dilemmas, many problems, and I want to bring up something that touches upon many people. It's said that it's so dangerous these days. These days are so dangerous health-wise and also regarding the economy. We need to listen to all of the instructions of the health department and the government and to observe them, to do what they say, regardless of what we want. Otherwise, there will be anarchy and catastrophe here. On the other hand, there's an opinion saying that, look, all these departments have their own interests. The health ministry has its own interests, and etc. But I have my own considerations, my own family, my business, and so on. And it's not that I have to always trust the establishment 100%, right? With all due respect. So we live between these two poles. Now, I think systematically, it's clear to me that if everyone does whatever they want, then it'll be madness. But I can also understand the pain of people who think otherwise. So inside, within this very complex state, I want to consult with you to ask you, how do you see these things? Love, I actually agree with you to an extent. We are in a state where, sadly, society, government, they all received egoistic educations. And so each one can listen and believe others only to a limited extent, very limited. What the ministers say and the government as a whole, we understand that it's all all coming from their own arguments, their inner conflicts. It's all clear, and we get the results of it. So there's no truth in it. There's nothing there that's in our best interests. It's to the extent that it's worthwhile for them to feed us so that we vote for them, give them more of an opportunity to argue amongst themselves and to divide the cake. That's all true. But we are parts of a society. And we're also participants, whether we want to or not. So we cannot just disregard it and say, nah, not that. But what they say, we also have to accept up to a point. I don't believe what they say 100%, of course. And I wouldn't follow their decisions, really. But what choice do you have? This is government. You have laws governing how you can replace government. So follow the laws and replace it. But so long as we are within this framework of nation and government, we have to listen and to obey, even though I don't want to, even if I understand that it's not right. But if each individual sets his own laws, his own rules, and behaves according to those, then there would truly be a complete lack of order and the country will disintegrate. Owen, another point that's very painful, and I want to hear your opinion about it, it's regarding trust. In the time of the corona crisis today, there are many people, let's take the sector of the business owners, the independents. These people, some, feel that the nation, the government betrayed them. Not all, but some. Why? He says, I own a business independently. In effect, I am the engine of the Israeli economy. If I didn't exist and other such business owners didn't exist, the country wouldn't have what it has today. It wouldn't be where it is today. Now, comes the crisis, the corona crisis, and smote me. I'm running out of business. And like in the army, you never abandon a soldier in the field. So what happens now? Comes this, here comes this crisis, destroys my business, can't provide for my family. I feel that this is a personal disaster. Now, previously I worked and I paid taxes and then national money pot, right, grew because of me. Now, when I have this crisis, nobody's caring for me. Now, I don't want to analyze it if he's right or not economically. I put that off to one side. I ask you, on the emotional level, a person who feels that the country betrayed him in that way, how should he relate to it? Rav, why did it betray? Where did I sign such a contract with you saying that if some upper force comes, as we say in the insurance companies, right, the hand of God, and if something happens, I come and pay you? I'm not an insurance company. I can't now give billions of shkalim, of shekels in reparations and compensations, etc. Where will I take it? And why do I have to? If somehow I can sort all these businesses and say those are essential, those aren't, if something happens, and I must first of all make sure to sustain those that deal with the basic sustenance, right? Food. I have to make sure the hospitals stay standing, right? Medicines have to come in. I have to maintain the army, even though it's all much harder than in regular times. There are essential things: food, army, and health. Without that, we cannot continue. So how can I now compensate all these little business owners that come to me and demand that I help them? And forcefully, they have this strong feeling that I owe them. Why? The coronavirus isn't a partner of mine, which damaged you. I'm not responsible. I'm not responsible for the operations of the upper force, right? The government organizes our lives on the corporeal level. And the coronavirus is above the corporeal plane, you could say. Nobody could say when it'll happen, how it'll happen, if it'll happen. We never had a tax that we collect in case of something like this happening. So where will government take that money from? Also, we understand that now when we return to the regular, normal life, we will have 30% at least of people who were employed before. They will be now unemployed. They won't have work. Because no one will now want some special cosmetics, some fancy clothing, some fancy cars flying every which way, and so on. Now we want what's necessary, what's crucial. Most of the people, and those people who owned businesses, they had some of the cream, right? Everyone knows this. So why do we have to give them, first of all, and to resuscitate these businesses, which we're pretty certain there is no need for? We don't need them. If it's a business that has to do with, let's say it's a bakery or agriculture, and so on. Of course, because that supplies basic necessities to the public. But high fashion, expensive cosmetics, such things, I don't think. I think that thousands of hairdressers shop, barber shops will stand empty, even though they were given the okay to open. And things which aren't basic sustenance. So I don't agree with those independents all shouting. I heard on the news that on television I saw the owner of the Mashbir Tzarchan, someone owning a business called the Mashbir Tzarchan, he yelled, "Why aren't they helping?" He demanded help. So he was asked, "Why? Is this an absolutely crucial business without which we cannot persist? Who knows what will happen? How do I now empty out the government funds, government accounts, if I don't know what happens tomorrow? If half the country remains unemployed, what will I do?" So, I don't think that the country, the nation, has to run around business owners and cover their expenses now. Owen, okay, you look at it from a systematic perspective, and I can understand this. I can understand. I do the same, generally speaking, but I'm not an independent business owner. Now, I have a neighbor whose business is tourism. And this season, he crashed and burned to the tune of hundreds of thousands of euros. Now, I ask myself, not with a social modal, not a global kind of perspective, which I agree with 100%. I now look at him. There is a person here with a family. The world just broke down around him. It's in ruins. He sees no hope in the future either. He sees no future. Now, we, as a nation, as a country, can we somehow provide a person in such a personal crisis some anchor, some hope? Aren't we responsible for everyone, regardless of if he's independent or not? These are people. So can't we generate some feeling that everything will be all right? I mean, Rav. So you're talking about basic income, right? Basic necessities that should not be denounced nor praised, as we say. What he needs to live, right? For his children to be sated, well-fed, clothed, go to school, all those things, so he can cover these the necessary expenses of the household, of the family. And if besides that we can also give him some work to do, then we give it to him. And for what he receives, he needs to give something back. But it's not that we commit to him, that we will reestablish his business, which has no future as of now. Owen, so if I understand you correctly, your perspective, you do see in the horizon some advancement towards a state that gives a person greater confidence and moving on towards financial models where even if I'm not a great millionaire and great business owner, I have something to eat, me and my family, my children. I have a roof over my head, the basics, as you said, health care, the things that every person needs. So the Israeli society will say to every individual, that's on me. That we give you. We don't help you with the business and all of that. That's too much for us. But you can be calm. You will not starve to death. Is that how you see the country running in the future? Not exactly, but to an extent. I want that person to work. I don't want him to sit idly at home like now in the coronavirus crisis. Rather, he should do something that's important for the society. He should engage in social connection, social cohesion, and each one can do that. And then when he receives some basic income from us, it's worthwhile for us to have such a person with us, and he won't be called unemployed then. Owen, so you're saying that we need to establish the country in such a way where each and every person can stop being concerned about his own existence. He will get from the society whatever the society deems is necessary, right? Love, yes. Owen, now you talked about money and things, emotions related to money and economic future. There is the individual, me as a citizen of the state. I have a job, I have children, I have taxes and so on. I have things around me, and there are systems that are supposed to serve me. The health system, the police, the courthouses, the schools, all these things are supposed to service me. Right? So we're living in a state where gradually, not only here in Israel, but all over the world, we begin to see that the individual is beginning to lose his trust in the establishment. Right? He doesn't think that the establishment truly thinks about him and his best interest. He thinks mostly that the people seated up there think about their own personal interests. If it also coincides with him doing well, then fine. But if not, they care for their own interests. So how should we treat this crisis of trust forming between the civilians and the states today? Love. Again, those people who have no work, we give them work, public work to do. We educate them towards an integral connection in the country, and then they become a great force within the society. And this force understands that only together we can change society so as to make it more friendly, more interconnected, more closely knit. By that, we bring into the society new energy, new strength. And this new strength is worth a lot of money. Owen, so if I understand your approach, you think that it is possible to revive the trust between the individual and the establishment? No, until these establishments change by themselves. But these people that we educate now to correct the society needs to be interconnected, integral. These people will change by their power, by their view. They will change the society, and mostly the government. Owen, so the time of the coronavirus, do you think it requires a new conception of the connection between an individual and the state? Yes, of course, a person must feel that he is a part of the state, a part of the nation, and he has to be in good connection with all the rest of the people of the nation, and from that power of connection that they attain, that's what builds the country. Owen, but what about the establishment, the state institutions, which aren't very well trusted now? We will change them through this new approach. Owen, so state institutions, what new approach do they have to adopt with respect to the citizen? The citizen is part of the nation, part of the people, and we establish the people through the connection of the individuals. Owen, but the institutions, what new approach do the institutions need to develop with respect to the individual? All the institutions, all the state institutions have to serve the citizens in order to make of them one single body. Owen, what does it mean to make of them a single body? That they are all connected towards one goal, which is to create themselves as an integral society. Owen, how do you define an integral society? They understand that only through a good connection, above all the conflicts and the egoistic outbreaks, only this connection brings us completion, wholeness in the nation, in the people, and that drives off all the problems. Owen, when you talk about connection, I see that today people and institutions and all the systems, they aren't very well connected. Each one is pulling towards his own side, his own interest. In any corporation, any interaction, you always see that one pulls towards his own interest and the other his interest. Sometimes our interests coincide, but when you talk about this time of Corona having to take us towards being a greater, a more interconnected society, but right now people connect to their own interests. So what connection are you talking about? Our connection is called an integral connection only if we see that through the connection between us, all of us, in our common center between everyone, there we can find a point of connection, which is the same point of connection for everyone. We all connect in such a way where there are no sides, no corners or angles, there are no factions and political parties. There's just one society. And its center is the force of connection and love between us. Owen, how can we begin to advance from today's reality towards such a state where indeed, as you said, there are no sides or corners, there is only this one central point? What's there at that central point? What connects all these ends together, making it something round without corners? Mutual commitment, mutual responsibility, mutual security, and the necessity for it, as we have no choice, because only in this way we can rise above our ego and reach a state where we are all connected together. And then we attain in the connection between us what we call the power of connection, love, mutual integration. And this power is called the upper force, the upper power, the creator. Owen, the things you say are beautiful, but what's unclear to me is, okay, what you describe to me, this interconnected round image, is that at the end of the path? Where is it in relation to us? Where is that place? It's at the end of the path, and we will need to gradually approach it in stages. And throughout these stages, we will see what happens to us. That's how we will advance. And if not through this virus, then another will come. Other blows will land. And it's like the 10 plagues in the Exodus from Egypt. It's very similar. Owen, where are we today with respect to that picture of the plagues of Egypt? Owen, the plagues are coming out to a better place. Where are we? Love, the first plague. Owen, so you think the coronavirus is the first plague? Love, yes. Owen, so what can we learn from it? Can we spare ourselves the next blows? Love, no, we can't spare ourselves those blows. They will come, but we can be better prepared for it. We need to understand that each such blow corrects us, and we will need to go through them, yes. Owen, so the coronavirus, what, as you see it, what does it fix? Love, the coronavirus is the first blow. If you could say it like that, these things are pretty vague as a fiat. We cannot differentiate the blows. We can't tell one blow from another. But we will see later. The coronavirus gave the whole world a feeling that we're in a global world now. The coronavirus set us up in such a way where, whether we want to or not, we all had to adopt the same mode of behavior. The coronavirus brought us the feeling that if you do not help others, you may be harmed. And more things besides. And this it paralyzed the world. It struck us in the head, over the head, and we're now surrendering before the coronavirus. But the question is, how do we rise back up again? How do we continue? How do we help each other to emerge from it? During the time of the blow, the plague, we are willing to assist each other to an extent, for lack of choice. But when we awaken, when we get back up, we return to this general disregard and a state where each one is concerned only about himself. So here comes the question. If we don't do something, then another coronavirus will come and another blows will come. But even with the first blow, we still don't exactly understand what it was about, what it is about, because we're thinking only about the financial problems. But no, it's a different problem altogether. It's also the way a person relates to the world, the way people relate to life. The fact that we left nature and we're now just destroying it, and then we see, we stop ruining nature. We left it a little bit, being in isolation as we were, and we see how nature is flourishing. Animals are coming out of the forest and so on. Species are returning. We see how we used to absolutely oppress nature. So we will have other things happening from the inanimate level and the vegetative and the animate levels. Oh, and so our time is running out. I want to ask you, from heart to heart, you painted here a picture of a goal, a far distant one, which I think is beautiful. Everyone is connected together without corners and sides and without all the tricks, just connected truly. Now, I, as an individual, hearing you, what can I do to support this process of advancement, to make one step forward? For now, see what nature does to us and how people cannot respond to it correctly, cannot react correctly, and understand from this that we need some learning, and then try to deliver this learning to the whole of humanity. Oh, and I will try. Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for being with us. New life, learning to live well. Bye.